You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Over the weekend, the government announced a number of amendments that would be made to the Hauraki Gulf Te Kapa Moana Marine Protection Bill. The amendments included the addition of 19 new marine protection areas, 12 of which are high protection areas, but would also allow the continuation of authorized customary fishing in high protection areas by authorized fishers. While Conservation Minister Tamapotaka, who introduced the amendments, has lauded the bill for protecting the biodiversity of the Hauraki Gulf while allowing local fishers to provide their communities, the Hauraki Gulf Forum and numerous conservation groups have said that the bill will do the exact opposite by opening critical areas of the Gulf up to commercial fishing and threatening the region's already endangered marine life. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March to discuss the recent amendments to the Hauraki Gulf Marine Protection Bill and the party's take on it. We also discussed the recent One News Variant poll showing that 40% of New Zealanders thought that Aotearoa was in a worse state today than it was last year, and the Samoan Citizenship Bill by Greens MP Tiano Tuiono getting passed in the Select Committee and moving on to its second reading. To start off, what was your reaction to the recent amendments to the Hauraki Gulf Te Kapa Moana Marine Protection Bill?
So we know the Hauraki Gulf is a treasure in terms of biodiversity, and that despite the sort of smoke and mirrors of adding new protection areas, we're still allowing corporates to destroy our natural environment. People in the Tamaki Makaurau region should be concerned because this will both compromise their ability to have swimmable beaches, but it will also crush the ability for people to have access to kaimoana. And we're already seeing communities on the ground raising alarms around rapidly dropping biodiversity in Tamaki Makaurau.
Can you tell us about the potential impacts that these amendments could have on local marine life and biodiversity?
Well, it will destroy biodiversity and our local marine life. And again, this is twofold effects. It will affect chains, which will damage the ability for people to have access to kai, but it will also harm the estate of our beaches, which we treasure in our area. And at the same time, it just opens up to big corporates to destroy the natural environment, take those profits away from the country. And we should be protecting our biodiversity in our oceans right now because they're at the front line of protecting us from climate change. And so this is why we're opposing those changes, and we think that the government should be instead moving to resourcing sustainable modes of fishing and protecting our oceans more.
Conservation Minister Tamapotaka, who introduced the amendments, said that the fishing practices that would be allowed in high protection areas would be monitored and would only be permitted to a small number of local fishers that provide for local communities. What's your take on this?
It just simply won't be the case. And this is the conservation minister in a government that has multiple times said that the dial has shifted too much on the side of protecting the environment at a time where actually our biodiversity is dropping and many of our species are at risk of extinction. So it's just simply his words do not match what the government is doing, which is still enabling corporates to come and destroy our natural environment.
So do you think that the proposed fishing allocations in high protection areas could lead to larger commercial fishing practices in the future?
That is correct. And we've got to remember that the impact of that will be long-term damage to our biodiversity, which affects our food supply, which affects the ability for our oceans to be at the front line of protecting us from climate change. And what I mean by that is that when our oceans are healthy and there's thriving biodiversity, our oceans act as a way to mitigate the impacts of climate change. When biodiversity drops in our oceans, we basically create the conditions for climate change to be supercharged.
All right, moving on to the next topic. A recent One News Variant poll showed that only 30% of New Zealanders believe the country was in a better shape than it was a year ago, with 40% of respondents saying it was in a worse shape and 26% seeing no difference. It also showed that Prime Minister Christopher Luxon's approval had dropped by 5 percentage points to 27.7%, and Labour leader Chris Hipkins' approval rating had increased by 4.3 points to 16.9%. Can you tell us about your reaction to the poll and the significance of these results?
Well, over different polls, we've seen that both major leaders have taken a hit in popularity. But when it comes to this snapshot of how people are feeling in terms of the state of the country. I think it just reflects the fact that when you're cutting jobs, when you're stopping the build of public housing, when you're allowing rents to continue to go up, of course people are going to feel the pinch. And this is a reminder that this isn't a government that is ruling for the many, but rather for its wealthy mates. And what I'm really concerned about is that, you know, poll noise aside, we're in a situation where this government is actively increasing poverty, increasing inequality, increasing homelessness. And the impacts won't be felt in poll so much, but in terms of more families getting into debt, more families living on the streets, more families struggling to afford basic essentials. And this is why the Greens are fighting every day to ensure that actually we push back against this government and we make this a one-term government so that we can ensure people can pay their rent, that we introduce things like rent controls, build more public housing, and tax the wealthy few so that we can afford good public services.
Responding to the poll results, Christopher Luxon effectively blamed the previous Labour government for the current state of the country and said that their approval ratings had fallen because they'd, quote, inherited a mess and were taking the blame for it. How would you respond to that?
I think our communities deserve more than the two major parties blaming each other each time the government changes for the state of the economy and their own popularity. At the end of the day, this is a government that has actively made things like child poverty worse, that has actively made inequality worse. And I think a lot of people are realizing that this is a government that will simply worsen the cost of living, except for those that are already doing it super well, including mega landlords, which are reflective of the Prime Minister's own background and life. And we've seen that reflected on his out-of-touch approach to talking about the capital gains that he's making and how he talks about people proposing a capital gains tax, for example.
And do you think that the government might begin to redirect some of its policy direction now that its approval has dropped?
I don't think this government is so much driven by focus groups, but rather by an ideological purpose to ensure that their wealthy mates continue to get richer and the rest of our communities get poorer. And we've seen that reflected on how they've approached things like child poverty, how they have approached things like public housing, and how they have approached things like jobs. And so I'm really concerned about that they will still push ahead with incredibly harmful policies that are not just unpopular, but will leave everyday families worse off.
All right, moving on to the last topic. The Restoring Citizenship, Removed by Citizenship Act 1982 bill, which was introduced by Green MP Tiono Tuiono, has moved forward with unanimous support from the Select Committee and will restore citizenship to Samoan-born New Zealanders born between 1924 and 49, who had their citizenships stripped away from them under the National Party-led government in 1982. Could you tell us about your reaction to this news and what it means for the Samoan and Pacifica community in Aotearoa?
Our Samoan community deserves justice after New Zealand's horrible legacy of colonization in the Pacific. Neither national or Labour governments of the past have taken the calls from the community in regards to restoring citizenship to families that had it stripped. And we're really glad that parties across the political spectrum have realized that the time is now to deliver justice for our Samoan community who have been treated really poorly by successive New Zealand governments. And what this will mean is people will now be able to stay connected to Aotearoa. Many of these Samoan families who have had a long history of connection, and if New Zealand's going to treat itself as a Pacific country, it's time our policies and laws reflect that too.
Despite voting against the bill in its first reading, National was one of the parties to vote in favour of it during the Select Committee hearing. Do you think that the feedback to the bill shows a change in direction regarding the coalition party's stance towards immigration and that they're listening to feedback from the community?
Yeah, no, my head and my National Party when it comes to such a basic issue of justice. Yeah, we do think the community has done a massive amount of work to put a compelling case for this bill, and we're really pleased to see that the National Party has caved into the pressure from the community and the Greens. And we hope that moving forward in the second and third reading that it will now become a non-controversial issue, and instead we can focus on honouring Aotearoa's connection to the Pacific and to Samoan communities across the Motu.
And lastly, some of the proposed suggestions for the bill, which would restore citizenship to the descendants of Samoans who lost their citizenship in 1982, as well as abolishing fees for Samoans reapplying for their citizenship, did not pass during the Select Committee. Are these recommendations and amendments things that the Greens will be pushing for in the second reading of the bill?
These are things that are aspirations from the community, and we will keep fighting to secure the best possible outcome for people who have faced a great injustice historically. But at the same time, we recognise that moving forward with unanimous support means sitting around the table and finding a position in which we can get all parties across the line. But that doesn't mean we won't continue exploring amendments or future campaigns to make sure that true justice is delivered as the community has demanded.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.